Wow, but Jason already held it like this, so I don't want to get this really close to my mouth. Okay. Then you go on and you think, how many people have done this? And then you're like, oh. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I'm so glad to be with you. I'm so excited to be a part of this ministry. My wife Carly is in the back in the blue shirt, and she's very excited to be a part of this ministry. She came as a snow trip camper one time. I came all 4 years in high school. So we have a lasting love for this ministry, and it's an honor to be doing it with Jason and Jeremy. I just want to tell you a few things about my life so you can get to know me. And I would say that I'd like to get to know you more, but we're all leaving in a few hours. So come back next year, and then we can get to know each other a little bit more. But I grew up in a Christian home. My parents got saved around the time I was 4 or 5, so I don't really remember too much before that. And so from then on, they started raising us in a Christian home, and it was something that I really look back on with thankfulness to God and with just trust in His sovereignty and in His provision for me. As I got older, around the time I was 4th grade, my parents decided to homeschool me and my brother Zach. And at the time, it was something that we were very excited about, because you don't have to go to school, right? That's kind of the way it works. All the homeschool kids are just like, that's not how it works, okay? But that's how people think it works. So you think, okay, it's going to be easy. And it had its benefits and disadvantages. But by the time I got to junior high and high school, I did not want to be homeschooled. And this may sound like really petty or whatever, but I did not. I told my parents that all the time. I constantly fought against it, rebelled against it, whatever. And one of the reasons why I didn't want to be homeschooled was because there used to be a homeschooler persona, or like when you hear that word, you tend to think of a certain type of person. And I hated that when I told people I was homeschooled, I knew that they were thinking about that. So what I did was I set out to make them say, after I said that, wow, I can't believe you're homeschooled. You know what I mean? So I set out to live my life in a way that they would be shocked to hear that I was homeschooled. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that awful? You can say it's awful. It's terrible. I wanted them to be like, wow, it seems like you really aren't homeschooled, or you go to these other schools, or you're more inundated with the world. It seems like you're a little more sinful than I thought you were going to be. That's kind of the way that I wanted to go. And I was pretty good at it for a while. Got mixed up with some wrong friends, got mixed up with some wrong things. But all through it, I realized I just didn't tell you when I became a Christian. I got saved young, probably around 8 or so. I remember the day, and I remember how it all worked out. I got saved out of a fear of going to hell, which I think is a good starting point, but your faith needs to mature from there. So I truly believe God saved me when I was young. And through this rebellion against my parents, through this rebellion against Him, He was constantly giving me reminders and signs and warnings to stop what I was doing and to come back to Him. And these were gracious things. And though we can tend to be thick-headed and we can tend to keep running the opposite way, eventually God showed me how petty and stupid my rebellion was against Him. And He showed me that I wasn't just running away from Him, I was running away from joy, I was running away from satisfaction, I was running away from hope and happiness. And so then, that was like senior year of high school, and I came to Snow Trip one time, seriously, and that was my senior year. I came to Snow Trip one time, excited to hear the Word of God, excited to grow, excited to meet with Christians. And that was my senior year. The other 3 years, I was excited to hang out with people. I was excited to get away from home. I was excited to play the games, whatever. The last year, I was excited. Not that it's wrong when you're excited for those things. Those things are awesome. I get excited for them now. But the real reason we do this is the teaching and the growth and the devotions and all those things. And that year I was excited for those things, and it was the best year. That's kind of my growing up. And then I went to college. I got married to Carly. We have two boys now. We're working at the church in Silvis, doing the ministry, and we're so thankful for everything that God has done for us. But if I were to give kind of one, like, takeaway from my short little devotion, my short little testimony there, it would be just to exhort you guys to just, as I was kind of sitting in the sessions and thinking about just kind of what's going on right now, I realized how much just valuable wisdom and biblical insight was being thrown before me every week, and I had no ears to hear it. I had no eyes to see it. I had no heart to receive it. Every week, our pastor was faithful to teach the Word of God. Every year, I was coming to Snow Trip. Every year, I was going to camp, etc. Every week, I was going to youth group. All, you know, probably similar to your guys' lives. I was doing all of those things. And every time, my pastor or the speaker was faithful to just unpack the Word of God before me. And I might as well have not even been there. I might as well have been back at the cabin, because I wasn't hearing it. At least I wasn't actively listening to it, right? It gets into your mind through subconscious ways, and God is putting those things in your heart as well. But I wasn't plugging in actively. And I look back on that with regret. I look back on that with, man, I really missed just wisdom and valuable gold in those years. And my exhortation to you guys, my challenge to you guys, is if you are like me, and you're coming to these things, but you're not actively plugged in, or you're trying to prove to the world that you're not a do-goody Christian, or whatever, you're trying to prove that the way that I was trying to prove that, kind of. If you're trying to do those things to show you the pettiness and the stupidity in that, and to show you what you're missing when you come to these things and the Bible's open the way it is. And let me just read a few verses out of Proverbs just to kind of solidify that idea, okay? I could read this whole chapter, but I'm not going to do that. Verse 13 of chapter 3. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. When I was teaching this to a youth group, I gave the illustration that if, let's say I took a $100 bill and I hid it somewhere in this room, and I said, if you find it, you can keep it. And then I said, go. What would happen?
We would have scrimmage.
It would be mayhem, right? Because that's a lot of money. I haven't done that, obviously. That's not actually a thing. But it would be mayhem. Why? That's a lot of money. That's valuable, right? And God's wisdom is, and when you grow up and you start paying your own bills, you're going to realize $100 really isn't that much money. And gold and silver and all these things, jewels, God's wisdom is far more valuable than those things. So you're sitting in front of that right now. And on trips like this and at home with your pastor, every week he's giving you these things. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. And then skip down to verse 21. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be a life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have you ever had nights where you have not been able to sleep because of the actions of the day? You ever had nights like that? Where you've been worried about whatever's going to happen, or you've been feeling guilty about whatever happened, or whatever. Following God's wisdom gives you sweet sleep. It's a blessing. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence, and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. So all of these things, you guys can look at these again, just wonderful promises that are given to those who approach God's word seriously, looking at it as an opportunity for gain, for wisdom, for life. Now, the last thing I want you to do, as we depart from here, is to try to take on this identity or this attitude on yourself. To try to pick it up and say, I'm going to discipline myself to become more serious about God's word. That's the last thing I want you to do. Well, and that sounds counterproductive, but that's not the way that God has set up for us to experience his word, right? In James, it says that God resists the proud. And I think what he means by the proud is he means the person who thinks that they can do it themselves. But what? He gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So, come, there is life and there is gold in store for those who humbly approach the Word of God. And exposure to the Word of God is not your guys' problem. It was not my problem. It's not my problem now. Right? These are still my issues that I have to deal with. But humility is our problem. And going to God and asking him for a humble heart that you might taste the value of God's word is a noble prayer. And I hope that God would see that happen in your life this year. Let me pray, and then we'll go on to the next thing. Father, thank you for your promises. I thank you for the promises of what the word will bring to us if we humbly approach it. I pray that you would be good to us and give us grace to look at your word this way. Give us eyes that see it that way. And Lord, teach us to live our lives that way. We thank you for your son who perfectly embodied this wisdom, perfectly embodied this attitude and this perspective. And I thank you that he was gracious enough to die, that he might buy grace for us, and that he might bring us into fellowship with you, that we might to experience the blessings that he experiences with you. And we thank you for that. We marvel at that. We don't understand that, but we're thankful for it, and we praise him in Christ's name. Amen. Got breakfast?